Blog Talk Radio.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keith. I know it's not Saturday, but this was an important issue, and I wanted you guys to be aware of it. Eating disorders and African-American women. That sentence sounds odd, right? Because when you think about eating disorders, you're usually thinking about Caucasian and white women. There's a certain view that we have, but African-American women are dealing with it. And I have two specialists actually wrote a book about it. They wrote a book. It's called Treating Black Women with Eating Disorders, A Clinician's Guide. First, my guest is Dr. Marzella Fuller, PhD, MSW, LCSW, CDSS, I could go on. She's clinical associate on staff at Duke University's Counseling and Psychological Services. And good evening, Dr. Fuller, and thank you again for joining us.
Oh, it is certainly, I'm grateful. Thank you for having us on the show. We appreciate it, Joy, and look forward to the conversation.
I also have Dr. Charlene Small. She's PhD, LCP, CEDSS. They got a lot of things at the back of their name. But she's Assistant Director for Health Promotions at the University of Richmond's Counseling and Psychological Services in Virginia. Good evening, Dr. Small.
Good evening. I'm thrilled. I'm delighted to be here talking about what we do, Dr. Fuller and I. I'm happy to be here.
I want to let the audience know both these women work on founding the Foundation's African American Eating Disorders Professionals Committee, and both of them served on the advisory board for the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorder. They are very busy people, and they have a lot of skills under their belt, and they're not just practitioners for the lowly, you know, lay people, but they could teach the other clinicians what they should be doing surrounding this issue. And that's that book that I wrote, that I talked to you, that they wrote called Treating Black Women with Eating Disorders, A Clinician's Guide. So, wow, you know, this is a really crazy issue. I've done shows about it before, and I've focused on African-American women before, but it's still an issue. It's still out there. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Fuller. What's causing eating disorders in African-American women?
Dr.
Small, you wanted to take that one, right?
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Small, if you want to pick that one up.
I'll pick it up. You know, okay. First of all, any discussion on eating disorders should begin with what eating disorders are and what they are not. And these are bona fide medical illnesses, and they have biological and environmental factors that can influence the development and maintenance of the eating disorders. And very important is the fact that symptoms manifest differently in different groups of people. For instance, Black women tend to binge more than they restrict. So the causes are many, and particularly for us, the stressors of daily life tend to impact eating disorders in people of color. You know, appetite loss and binge eating is not uncommon in response to daily tensions and stressors, and our daily lived experiences often include anxiety from invalidating, intimidating, and subtle microaggressions. And also macroaggressions, you know, like housing discrimination and police misconduct and other systematic social injustices and patterns of emotional eating to cope with these kinds of things often result in eating disorders. That's
in your book also. In your book, you also talk about shame and trauma. Those are things that affect eating disorders. Dr. Fuller, I want to talk to you then. So she mentioned Black women are binging. What does that mean?
Well, that can mean a lot of things, right? One thing, it means they're binging and they're not probably purging, and they're binging mainly because of what there could be something to eat in them. There could be feelings, emotions, stress, because like you brought out, we have to historically contextualize how Black women are treated just in terms, like you said, the weight of shame, you know, the strong Black woman syndrome, the pressure to succeed. The myth of we can't be vulnerable, right? We have to be strong. Mm-hmm. They can't show our emotion. And we do a lot of emotional avoidance. And when we do that, we can binge in our privacy of our homes or wherever, and we can really, that's where our feelings are. And, you know, you got
to
think about
the black body. I want you to
explain
it very, 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 very clear, because some people really actually don't know what that may mean. What does binging mean? What does that mean? What is a person doing when they binge?
Well, they're eating a lot of food in a rapid amount of time. And sometimes it's so automatic, right? So that if we're especially talking about Black women, but most women who are eating, it's a rapid of consumption of maybe 10,000 calories in less than an hour and a half.
I cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell us more.
I was just going to say that in terms of racism and systemic issues, we eat to feel better, to self soothe, to allay, assuage fears. I have two teenagers. No, I don't. I have a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old, excuse me. But they're tall, they're dark brown, they have natural hair. And, you know, a lot of times when people who look like that are out and about, they get stopped by the police, sometimes it doesn't really end well for us. I'm afraid for them every minute that they are out of my sight. For a lot of women who feel the way that I do, they eat until they know their kids are safe. You know, they're supposed to be on the clock. Where are they? I don't know. But let me eat this cheesecake, this whole cheesecake.
Yeah.
Surely by the time I finish this, they'll be home.
There is a different side, though, too. There's another side where people are not eating called anorexia. So, Dr. Fuller, what does that mean when somebody has anorexia?
Okay, when we look at the other side, and believe it or not, many, many more Black women now are struggling with anorexia nervosa, right? And that's really restricting, pretty much restricting what you eat, don't eat, counting your calories, excessive exercising, could be purging, you know, several times a week. Could be laxative use, could be a lot of regurgitation, could be a lot of ways to control the stress. Now, because remember the other side of it, too, there is a whole lot of just stress that the Black body holds to, right? You know, if we're just thinking about the Black woman, the angry Black woman, or the racial reckoning and the trauma, and we're not trying to get into anything, but people are having to cope with what's coming in our communities, right? Such as what Dr. Sloan alluded to, you know, the fear, the trauma of your loved ones being hurt or being targeted. And also the treatment of Black women, right? Access to quality care. In terms of when you are really trying to get mental health services, right? There are
other kind of service. Any other kind of service.
We can think about, you know, African American women. trying to have babies, you know, and
yeah, we
see even the superstars, you know.
Serena.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know,
and no amount of money
will even buy you adequate care. You know, we're dismissed. Mm-hmm. We're invalidated. People don't listen to us. And then you have an extension of that is that some people who are learned individuals think that black people don't feel pain in the way that white people do. UVA, University of Virginia, did a study in 2016. Mm-hmm. Med students, 2016, thought that black people feel pain in the same way, you know? And
yeah, we have a more tolerance
for
pain, right? There is a
Dr. Small, let me ask you this question. So we're talking about women. What about black men? Just to, I want to put that in there, Dr. Small. Can black men have
eating
disorders?
Please put it in there.
And if so,
absolutely.
Which ones do they have more so? Are they anorexia or bulimic? Can you talk about that a little bit, Dr. Small?
Well, absolutely. Black men are similar to black women in terms of how these symptoms are manifest. We eat too much. You know, with bulimia, there's eating, as Dr. Fuller said, a lot of food in a short amount of time, but they purge persons who struggle with bulimia. We do, we certainly have some across all of the spectrums, but we binge eat. Black men have these same issues that we're dealing with. I did an interview a little while ago, and I did a little research before it, and I polled black men, and I said, is mental health a crisis for black men at this time? And every one of them said, yes, indeed, and that they should, along with exercising and going to the doctor for a physical, they need to take care of their mental health also. To the extent that they're dealing with these microaggressions and racisms and so forth, they are also they're binge eating. They're trying to feel better.
Right.
Fuller, what is?
Go ahead. You want to add something?
I just want to say too. You know, I know that sometimes we have to think about black men where they are. Right? Are they in the military? Are they a wrestler on the team at a college? Right. So there's weight restrictions.
Right.
Are they part of intersectionalities, right, LGBTQ, trans community?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole lot. I know we won't be able to unpack, but I like to really throw that out because a lot of times that's where that can be the start of an eating disorder for men.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Because, you know, they're
trying to
they want to put on muscle, you know, where women with anorexia, they want to shed pounds. They want to become thin. Men, they want to put on the muscle. And sometimes that leads to an eating disorder. And you will see the symptomatic, they're throwing up because, you know, they drink a lot. And then they throw up. And the drinking too much is their reason for doing it.
Right.
So, Dr. Fuller, what is a rumination disorder?
Well, it's a preoccupation. It could be body dysmorphia. It could show up in that way, or it could just be something that's intrusive in your rumination, your cognitive piece, thinking about I'm not going to eat that, or I need to eat that, I can only eat this. Whatever it is, it's just taking up a lot of time in your brain, just ruminating, fixating. And usually if we talk about body dysmorphia, it can be my nose. And, you know, I can go out and spend a lot of money doing surgeries on the nose isn't right. My stomach is too protruding or it's not right. I need to keep doing this. I have acne and it's one pimple, but you'll say you have a face covered with acne. So it's just, and that little pimple can just, you get so fixated, so preoccupied, so ruminated on it that it becomes a huge issue.
Okay.
And can I offer something else that we don't always hear about, and that's ARFID, and we're seeing that a lot more. Arsen mm-hmm. is avoidant-resistant food mm-hmm. Intake disorder. And persons yeah. with this issue, they intentionally limit the intake for reasons other than concerns for body weight, such as sensory properties of food. Maybe they don't like the mm-hmm. texture of it, or they yeah. just have a lack of interest in eating, or they, mm-hmm. they do fear some adverse consequences like choking or vomiting, right. and as a result, okay. then they've lost a lot of weight, or there's a failure
that's
to drive.
Right. And it's kind of atypical, doctors, right?
It's really atypical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first I've heard of that one. But what about this thing mm-hmm. I heard about PICA, P-I-C-A? What is that,
yeah.
Dr. Lewis? Woo, it's really eating things that have no nutritional value, right? Or, you know, it's kind of odd, right? Because, you know, it could be people eat, they might have a craving for something that you, like people can eat paper, chalk, or
mm-hmm.
or glass,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Remember
red clay back in the day.
We
and Argo Sart. Argo Sart.
That's right.
Pregnant
women.
Wow. Argo Sart.
I've eaten Argo Sart. Right out the box.
I did too. I
when I was little, we did.
And Joy, I do believe, and I know Dr. Small, you know, because we've been in this business, I know it's when you're eating those kind of pica things like that that's have no nutritional value, I do believe the body is craving something that we are not giving it in terms of iron.
The body
and
absolutely
is.
Yeah. And children
mm-hmm.
know. Children are,
mm-hmm.
you know, notorious for pica, and they're if they're lacking something, they're trying
yes.
to get those nutrients somehow. They
yes,
may
they
not
are.
Know how, but they know they
that's
need
right.
it, so they eat whatever they can get their hands on.
Whatever they can get
that's
their
right.
hands on, yeah.
That's
now,
true.
In your book,
mm-hmm.
in your book, something interesting, you talked about father hunger. Can you tell us about that,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Small? What does that mean, and how does that relate to eating disorders?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it has to do with not having access to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the person is there with you physically, but maybe you still just cannot get that person's attention. And
mm-hmm.
we, you know, someone else wrote about this, wrote a book about it, but it's certainly is not limited to any particular group. We have all kinds of family dysfunctions and adverse childhood disorders, and you know the absence of a male figure is a part of it. And children in particular do what they need to do to soothe, to feel better when
okay.
they, you know, don't know how to respond differently. And in fact, in terms of adverse childhood experiences, our children are twice as likely as white children to be sexually assaulted. And in such cases, they don't know how to respond, so they eat. You know, they don't have a lot of control over anything. So if they're fortunate enough to have food, they eat. They eat, they eat, they eat. So that if you see very young children who are very overweight, you need to investigate
that
whether or not there has been
absolutely. And I would also say the contributors to the chapter, because there's a psychologist that wrote a book, Margot Main, about father hunger.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
I think the contributors in our book from Jamaica, I like the idea that they were focusing on engaging fathers in the process, right? Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes the father hunger piece, so sometimes the father can play a pivotal role in the daughter having a sense of self-esteem and confidence and some of the things that get manifested in an eating disorder, right? Low self-worth,
that's
low
right.
self-esteem,
lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So engaging fathers early on in the process and in the treatment planning
in the
with
treatment
their daughters,
process.
And they find that the outcomes have been better. Yeah, has improved.
Now
that's
you're
right.
talking about
that,
you talked
right.
about you just talked about
sorry,
treatment
Jordan.
With the fathers, but one of the things also in the chapter about the story of Sally B, you talked
mm-hmm.
about who is on the team helping a person makes a difference in what they notice, and also you talked about a be safe model for cultural competency. Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Small, what is the be safe model? Can you talk to the audience about that?
The Be Safe model is very simply speaks to culturally competent assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do a very, very thorough assessment when you are working with persons. And, I mean, the acronyms, I can tell you what they are in just one second. But primarily,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about a culturally competent assessment. You know, many persons who are providing psychological care to Black people have attended schools that have a white, Western, Christian, heterosexual lean to them, and
mm-hmm.
those persons have never had a discussion in their schools on how on race at all.
Yes.
And
yeah.
that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with
right.
Be Safe, the acronyms stand for barriers. There are all kind of barriers to providing competent services for us. There's ethics. You know, some people
mm-hmm.
don't believe that that's really something that's important, but you got to have some ethics. There's sensitivity. There's assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do a thorough assessment. Like I said, with the young children who are overweight,
mm-hmm.
you got to go in that background somewhere. You've got to ask the hard questions. You have to be able to talk about race. Racism is pivotal in involving
yeah.
Eating disorders. Facts, you got to be factual. You know, encounters,
mm-hmm.
you have to, once again, there's that whole cultural piece. It's just so important that you know something about the persons that you're working with.
Dr. Fuller, what should friends and family do if they find out that a person is binging or they're not eating or they're, you know, they're restricting their eating? What should they do? What can friends and family do?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, lean into your community, right? Seek out. Everybody's not going to be – Charlene and I won't be – everybody won't be certified eating disorder specialists, right? But certainly
mm-hmm.
you can talk to your mental health you can talk to your, I'm sorry, your medical provider if there's one. Always jump to places like Annette, you gave out, you described at the beginning, NIDA,
mm-hmm.
AAP,
NAMI.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's right. All of these places to just get started. You know, they're there. They have, because especially Annette has really, they've been around, Annette been around for 45 years. 45
mm.
years. And the thing is now, they've been one of the, it was started by nurses, now transitioning on, but this is amazing because, and they are becoming, I believe, I like the way that they're becoming culturally competent, inclusive, and all of that. So I always just say, look, go to Annette, go to Nita.
And as is IDEP, we have to give it to them because
yeah.
we have been largely instrumental in
yes,
getting them to focus on Black folk, Black issues. You know, we created the AAEDP.
Dr. Small and Dr.
Yes,
Fuller,
ma'am.
Let me just tell the audience the phone number. The helpline for ANID, Eating Disorders Helpline, is 1-888-375-7767. Again, that number is 1-888-375-7767. So if you are dealing with any of these issues that we discussed tonight, or you know someone You can use that number, and it's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Central. It's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Central. And also they talked about NADA, that's another organization, and they also have a line. I'll try to tweet and post that information. Let me see here. This is NADA here. Their number is, they also have chats. So NADA has chat during the week. They have a call number, and they also have text. So you can text, because especially if you're a younger person really into texting, you know, if they don't get on the phone, they text everything. So you can text.
That's why they don't text everything.
1-800-931-2237. Again, 1-800-931-2237. And that is the same number that you can use to call them. And, again, they have their website. You know, this is wonderful information that you guys are sharing. I also want to mention your book again, Treating Black Women with Eating Disorders, A Clinician's Guide. And so that is a wonderful book. I'm going to give away a copy of that book. I'm going to do a giveaway so people can, if they want to learn even further
about that. Because it's a lot of information.
That.
Thank you.
It's a lot of information.
We
appreciate
it. It really is a wonderful document. It's black women who provide treatment to black women. And
20 contributors.
Yes. It
this
was really
been,
good. I couldn't read everything, but what'd you say?
I said, Joy, I could talk about this forever. I'm so, so happy that you are spotlighting our book and our passion
and
zeal
these
for
issues.
This work.
You know, because
well,
people
thank you
don't
so much for
black
for taking the time.
People have eating disorders. Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't.
We're thrilled. No,
they don't.
Don't
think
you
that.
Know, when you think eating disorders, you think of thin white women.
Yep.
And that who are from Bethesda, Maryland, or some other very rich county in the country, and that's just not it.
Yeah. That's not it. And this, I want to let people know, this show is not just for African-American women in the sense of we don't want anybody can use this information. Anybody who's dealing
that's
with any of these
anybody
issues
can
use
absolutely.
This information.
That's what
and
this
guide
is all about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to isolate
it. Joy, to be honest, it was our white allies that encouraged Dr. Small and I to focus on this. So, we have presented in the UK and will be represented in Scotland. And so we're reaching across the globe, and we're just anybody that's interested. This happened to be the focus, but it's a universal issue, and it's a woman, a women's or a woman's issue. So, and we have to come together.
But it's more than a women's issue.
We're coming down
to
time.
Why people don't believe that men have eating disorders,
right, so men
don't want to
come forward
he's got a women's disorder, and so that's why no one knows that they have it.
Yeah, it's not. It's a human disorder that people, men, women, and children deal with. Thank you, ladies, so much. I hope you guys have a great week. And again, like I said, I'm going to give away some copies of your book.
It's been our pleasure.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening. Okay, all right.
You too.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just want to let you know, again, I'm going to give away some copies, so you can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Also, you can email me, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, and you can check out the show on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, as well as here and Google, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a wonderful evening. Stay tuned. I'm talking with actress Cassandra Freeman from The Bel-Air Show that's airing on Peacock.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.